From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have been talking about the Beatitudes, which start in Matthew chapter 5. But before I move past these Beatitudes, I want to add to what I said in the previous broadcast with respect to persecution. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness," he was speaking of more than being persecuted in innocence. That's certainly part of it. But Jesus here is also speaking about those who have rejected the unrighteousness of the world, those who embraced the principles of the kingdom. He's speaking of those who lived for the city of God rather than for the wickedness exemplified throughout the city of man. And thus those persecuted for the sake of righteousness are blessed. Why? Because they have received the grace, the glory commensurate with the rule of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those who thereby participate in the kingdom of heaven are blessed. Men like Polycarp of Smyrna and Ignatius of Antioch. I talked about them before, but they always spring to mind as men who willingly surrendered their lives for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. These were apostolic fathers who faithfully transmitted the teachings of the apostles. They were expositors, witnesses to life and truth, fathers without whom we would not so much as have our treasured Bibles. In the midst of a fiery death, Polycarp remained faithful to what he had received from those who had looked upon and actually touched the word of life. Ignatius, likewise, he surrendered his body as the wheat of Christ, the wheat of Christ ground by the teeth of beasts to become pure bread. And let me also say a word about what Jesus meant when he said, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A lot is made about the phrases kingdom of heaven or kingdom of Christ and kingdom of God. But let me note here in this context that Matthew alone uses this phrase, kingdom of heaven. And he uses it more than once. Elsewhere in Scripture, the phrase kingdom of God is more frequently used, and there's a reason for that. It's not as many modern-day Christians believe that the phrase kingdom of God applies to both Jews and Gentiles, while the phrase kingdom of heaven applies more properly to Jews in the millennial kingdom. That's not it at all. Rather, the primary reason is that Matthew is writing primarily to a Jewish audience. And this is an audience that had been largely taught to avoid the use of the divine name considered to be so holy it could not even be spoken. In truth, therefore, the expressions kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are interchangeable, as when Matthew uses both phrases synonymously in Matthew chapter 19. Where he says, "I tell you the truth, It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, here you see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God used interchangeably. Also, let me say this about persecution. Jesus actually tells us to rejoice and be glad in the midst of persecution. You have to ask yourself, why would that be? And the answer maybe should be self-evident. Because as Jesus has said elsewhere, for great is your reward in heaven. Instead of grieving and lamenting persecution, therefore, Jesus tells his disciples to rejoice, to exult in persecution. I mean, that's a hard one to wrap my mind around. But this is precisely what the disciples did. And it's evidenced in the book of Acts chapter 5, where the apostles left the Sanhedrin actually rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the very sake of the Master. Beyond all doubt, the highest glory in the kingdom of heaven belongs to martyrs. I don't want that to pass by you too quickly. The martyrs have the highest position in the kingdom. We're talking about men and women who died rejoicing in the reality that they had been counted worthy to suffer persecution for the sake of Christ, for the sake of Christ's kingdom. Matthew 5 tells us very clearly that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, said Jesus, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, of course, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. And then he says, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. If you're not salt, maybe this is too explicit for most, but if you're not salt, you're not a follower of Christ. Moreover, if you're not salt, then the moral corruption of the world will continue unabated. Without the salt of Christianity, the world collapses and corrodes. The culture will continue to devolve into moral rottenness and corruption without Christians as the salt and light of the earth. Christ's admonition, therefore, is not theoretical. It's extremely practical. All we need do is look at the collapse of Western civilization. The saltiness of the Christian subculture creates more unbelief. I should say the unsaltiness of the Christian subculture creates more unbelief. That's a Freudian slip if ever there was one. It creates chaos. In fact, more chaos than all the books and ruminations of infidels and skeptics. If you combine them all, the unsaltiness of Christians creates more chaos. And this denigration, the denigration of Christian civilization, is hardly symptomatic of a fevered imagination. It's real. It's astonishingly real. And that's evidenced by three quintessential building blocks of civil society. I'm talking about marriage, government, and the church, all of which rest atop the foundation of human life. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about that. I wrote about that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. You have these incredibly important building blocks of society that have been utterly demolished in our culture. And again, the reason is that we, as salt and light, have abdicated our responsibilities. Our responsibility to be salt and light in a lost and searching world. Again, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how is it going to be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. And a city on a hill will never be hidden. I'll talk about all of that and more when we come back from the break on this special edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast, as we're talking about the role of Christians in the culture. I want to thank all of you who take that role seriously by standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference throughout the world, and I'll give you some explicit examples of that. Again, all of which coming up right after the break, so please don't touch that dial.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important fact of Christianity. In fact, if Christ was not raised from the dead, nothing else matters. We are still in our sins and have no hope of heaven. Learn to defend the resurrection with Hank's book, The Third Day, our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support today. Examine and explode the lies of resurrection deniers and strengthen your confidence in your own resurrection. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. As I was saying before the break, you and I are to be salt and light, and as such to uphold the building blocks of civil society, something that I wrote about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. You think about the building block of marriage. It was once correctly believed to be the unique and the permanent, the comprehensive union of body, mind, emotion, soul, a proper end of which is children. Today, the lives of children have become expendable. All we need do is think of New York's Reproductive Health Act. This effectively permits abortion up until the very moment of delivery. And not only that, but the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage has not only undermined the foundation of human civilization, it has opened Pandora's grisly box. If there's no special virtue in gender-differentiated parenting, is there any magic in the number two? And why arbitrarily assign 18 as some magical age of consent? My point here is that once we abandon the biblical definition of marriage, there is virtually no limit on where our unsanctified passions will ultimately lead us. Western governments were mandated by God to ennoble life, to promote justice, to restrain sin, but instead they are leading the charge towards social chaos. Even towards the eradication of gender distinctions which were ordained by God from the very inception of human civilization. And yet, while I talk about government, the most colossal failures belong to the church itself. We're not only losing our kids, but our evangelism efforts aren't keeping up with the pace of population growth. We're no longer teaching our kids, and we're no longer evangelizing the world. In this regard, I always think of Jacob Neusner, who reminds us that civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. Said Neusner, if only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. If the guardians of human knowledge stumble only one time, in their fall collapses the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. And he wasn't alone. Rabbi Jonathan Henry Sacks underscored the criticality of constant conversations between the generations. He said, "You achieve immortality not by building pyramids or statues, but by engraving your values on the hearts of your children and they on theirs, so that our ancestors live on in us, and we in our children, and so on until the end of time." And this admonition is reminiscent of what Moses said. Moses exhorted the people of the promise to impress the words of the Almighty upon the hearts of their children and their children's children. He instructed us to talk about them when we sit at home, when we walk with our children along the road, when we lie down, when we get up, to tie them as symbols on our hands and to bind them on our foreheads, to write them on the door frames of our houses and upon our gates. Why? Because Moses exhorted us to never forget the commands, the precepts of God. If truth matters, and it most certainly does, the church has to take seriously the task of Christian education. Not edutain, but educate. Equip our children and their children to always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, you're the salt of the earth, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let me just state the obvious. There are myriad professors, there are lots of cultural pundits who are ready to steal away the faith of your progeny, ready to tell them, as does Dr. Alex Rosenberg, who is a professor of philosophy at the prestigious Duke Center for Philosophy of Biology, that physical and biological science makes the existence of God less probable than the existence of Santa Claus. The church as a whole has been notably slow not only to meet the challenge, but even to recognize the challenge. In other words, we failed to be salt and light as Jesus said we should be. Salt, it's a preservative, and light, well, light dispels darkness, the darkness of ignorance and blindness and foolishness and imprudence. We are to be a light to the world just as the first disciples were a light to the world. What Christians do for the least of these is a light that shines forth throughout the world. Look, for example, at what Tristan Osbe is doing. I just did a podcast with him. He's the state secretary for the aid of persecuted Christians and what's called the Hungary Helps Program. And as state secretary of Hungary, he has been commissioned to finding ways to connect the ancient persecution of Christians to what Christians are enduring today. Now, Hungary has its roots in Christianity. And therefore, as Christian in culture and belief stands in solidarity with Christians who are suffering throughout the world for their faith. And it's no small matter that 80% of people who face persecution today are Christian. That's 4 out of 5 persecuted people are Christian, which gives credence to the prophetic utterance of Jesus, who said that if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So righteousness shines out and catches the attention of the world. What Hungary is doing is being watched by the world. And what they're doing draws myriads to the uncreated light of Christ. You are the salt of the earth, said Jesus. You are the light of the world. And therefore, you are to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. As I go through the Sermon on the Mount and I try to expand upon the words of Jesus, or at least to give some context for these words in our contemporary culture, I have to confess once again that the words of Christ are so magnificent that sometimes rather than expand upon them, we need to simply memorize them, to take them and make them part of the warp and woof of who we are. You, dear Christian, are the light of the world, but you're also salt, and we must never lose our saltiness. Otherwise, the culture will corrode and eventually collapse. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we work our way through Matthew's Gospel. When we come back next time, we're going to talk about what Jesus said. I came not to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. We'll talk about that and much more next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.